Why did my keyboard just stop working?
This is going great so far.
You don't need keyboards.
No. Jesus.
They're overrated. It's all gesture control now.
It's all through the mind.
Yeah.
It is.
Welcome to One More Podcastle, episode 121. My name is Jason Lamb, and this is part of the VG Evo Podcast Network. I'm your resident Canadian because Eric Bailey couldn't be here, but don't fear, my reign of madness is almost over, and he'll actually be back next week.
He will be, yes. My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-community manager, and I've got the funniest taste in my mouth. It's just I don't know what it is.
Nice. Hey, everyone. I'm Daniel Kaiser, known as on-air host for Game Trailers TV, GameTrailers.com, on Spike over the last several years. But I am now actually the editor-in-chief of Retro Video Game Magazine as well, which I look forward to talking with Jason and Eric about on this here very show, live on your Google.
Nice.
Is that
all over your Googles?
Do people say that on your do people take like personal possession of their Google?
I was there. I saw it happen. I
saw it happen.
It was a messy ordeal. The war was endless. But my gosh, it was epic.
Awesome.
Nice. So yeah, tell us about a little bit about the Retro Magazine.
Because I have so many questions.
Awesome. Yeah. So so like I was saying there in my brief little really crappy intro, I've spent the vast majority of my career working with Game Trailers TV with Jeff Keighley and then, you know, GTV on Spike. And of course, GameTrailers.com and whatnot. So, but prior to doing that, I was actually a print production manager. I worked in print and I, you know, love the print medium. And obviously that didn't really jive very well with the current state of gaming because, you know, gaming was getting away from print and all going online. And, you know, here we are coming full circle with some different stuff. You know, while I was at Game Trailers, I always loved to innovate and try to start different things. Some people watching this might know Epic Battle Axe, which was a big brand that I kind of helped, that I did start and get going to talk about gaming discussion, have gaming community. And that was a real great passion project for a long time. So, you know, kind of out of the ashes of that, because that's not running anymore. That's kind of just there with all the archive podcasts. I was looking for my next project after leaving Game Trailers last June. A lot of people might remember that Game Trailers was acquired by Defy Media. During E3, which of the entire calendar year, that's probably not the best time, but it happened.
No, probably not.
during E3. And as I was live on air in front of millions of people, they're like, "You don't have a job." And I was like, "Oh, that's cool." So anyway, that was
high
fun.
Fives everywhere. High
yeah,
fives.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Thanks.
No, it was cool. It was all good. Everything was cool. And I wish nothing but the best for everybody that's still at GT. But a lot of us moved on to do different things. And over the course of time, I came in touch with the guys at Retro. Now, Retro is a video game magazine. That's the product. That's the main thing that there is. But really, it's a brand that's all about being a retro-minded gamer. And they had been successfully funded on Kickstarter twice, actually. The first one funding the entire magazine, and the second one adding additional pages to year two, which is beginning right now. So anyway, I came on board and am now editor-in-chief, and I've infused a new vision into kind of what Retro Video Game Magazine is all about, which is to celebrate gaming's past, present, and future. There's a lot of crap, a lot of trash talk going on in the industry, but this is a wonderful medium where everyone kind of is invited to collaborate through what we're doing. We actually, you know, have a printed product, Retro Video Game Magazine, which is a 76-page publication that has writers from all over the industry, everyone like Luke McKinney, Jeremy Parrish, Andy Eddy. We've got, you know, Chris Kohler, Sean Babies in there, tons of people collaborating on this project because it's an effort to celebrate gaming's past, present, and future, as I mentioned. And the big thing that I'm doing is kind of working with publishers now to help us look at what's coming out, because the reality of the situation is you hear retro and people think, you know, Pac-Man and Space Invaders, and that's great, and we want to do that, and we will do that, but our industry is very future-focused. So my goal is to help us look at what's coming out that people are all excited about and help celebrate that franchise and look at the big picture. So as an example, issue number 7, right ahead of the release of Mortal Kombat X, and we're celebrating the Mortal Kombat franchise. I've got an interview with Ed Boon in there. We've got some exclusive art. We're going to look back at the history, the evolution of the franchise, but we're also celebrating the entire like fighting game genre. So looking at Street Fighter, looking at the history of Virtua Fighter, Soul Calibur, even way back games, have some exclusive great information in there. And I really just want the magazine to feel like a celebration of things, but also informative, educational, informative, and entertaining all at the same time, so that when you are going to pick up your copy of Mortal Kombat, you're like, I want to celebrate the franchise and also learn something about the history of the genre and specifically Mortal Kombat. So that's the goal of each publication. We're going to announce each issue as they come out. We're a bi-monthly publication, so only 6 magazines per year, but I'm very much looking forward to discussing our sequence of announcements and what we got. We got some really big stuff planned for 2015, and that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Nice.
So much a nutshell. I talked for a while, so it's like a coconut shell.
No, that was great.
Pretty big nutshell.
But
it's pretty big.
So now that you've been in publication for 2 years, you've had 2 successful Kickstarters, where do you kind of see the magazine going in the future? Like, I know right now you guys have expanded. You've got a classic gaming forum. You've got a modern gaming forum.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're part of the Game Gavel Network.
Correct. Yep.
So you actually have the Game Gavel kind of, I guess,
integration.
Auctions.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Integration in there. So how do you see yourselves in a year from now, almost?
So we are in our second year, but technically we're really just getting started. The first year was more or less kind of like fulfilling the idea of what is possible with a print publication in this day and age. And the reality of the situation is, you know, we all know that print has kind of gone by the wayside. Now, mm-hmm. Game Informer is an amazing magazine. I know Andy very well, and the whole team over there have nothing but respect for what they're doing. But what they're doing is different than what we're doing. You know, when Mortal Kombat X is announced, that's Game Informer. When Mortal Kombat X is coming out and you want to learn about the history of the franchise or the history of the genre, that's us. And that's what we do that's different. But also, they've got 4 million subscribers or whatever, so we've got a lot of room to grow because we're just babies starting out and getting this thing, you know, out of the gate with an idea and actually turning that vision into a reality. So to answer your question, we've published 5 magazines. The 6th one is coming out right now. The 7th one, which is the start of year 2, is the one that I'm at the helm of as editor-in-chief. And so our goal right now is to get the word out, to let people know what we're doing and to invite people to, join in on the issues and the conversation, because it's not just a magazine coming out. We're actually going to be hosting on the website and through social channels, vast discussion about genres. We're going to have interactive polls and engagement, you know, for finding out what people's favorite Mortal Kombat character is or their favorite fighting game, and just really taking these opportunities to celebrate the genre through these franchises that we're honoring in each and every edition. So we want to build up our subscriber base. We want to get out there and we want to have fun with this thing. That's what gaming is all about, right?
Nice. No, definitely. And if someone were wanting to subscribe, what would be the best way to do it? Go through the website, go through like a third-party channel?
Yeah, no, website. ReadRetro.com is the website. ReadRetro. And then just /subscribe is where you could subscribe. There's obviously call-outs on the website. But, yeah, if you're interested in doing it, it's like $33, and it gets you the full year in both print and digital. If you just want digital and you don't want the print, it's like $18. It's an actual thing to buy, and this day and age, you can also find it in Barnes & Noble beginning with issue 7, and we're in about 100 or so mom-and-pop retailers throughout the country, and then we have throughout U.S. and Canada. Sorry, got to give Canada a shout-out.
Yes.
And then we have, we have subscriptions in about 35 different countries as well. So
nice, that's awesome. I'm really impressed.
Well, yeah, because that was kind of I was going to play devil's advocate, because I'm sure everybody has. I mean, being in this day and age, trying to bring out a print media forum. I mean, don't get me wrong. When I grew up, you know, I was an avid Nintendo Power. Then I moved to GamePro. Then I had EGM. Then EGM2, because they thought releasing a magazine every 2 weeks about video games was a better idea than every month. Then Gamer, GMR, if anybody remembers the old days of EB Games. And then Game Informer. Like, I'm all about print media. I've got an entire library of magazines behind me. But this day and age, I mean, don't get me wrong, what you guys have accomplished already, You have definitely positioned yourself to be that for the people, by the people, especially with both Kickstarters, which I'm happy that I was part of. But so, yeah, I know. So it's a little biased. but I'm just curious, like, what is the end game? Because this is such a niche market, especially with it being one, retro gaming, which obviously is becoming more and more popular as we move on. Thank God for everybody, right? Because that's where the fun is. But mm-hmm. I mean, with it being a print magazine, on top of it being retro gaming, on top of it being everything else, like, what do you see the future of retro magazine being?
Absolutely. And that's a very valid and well-worded question. The reality of the situation is what I've tried to do is come on board and say retro isn't just a magazine, it's a mindset. Retro is for people who remember the days of when you brought home your cartridge, you paid $50 for it, you brought it home, you popped it in, you pressed power, and the damn thing worked, and it was great, and you celebrated that. And more than being just a mindset, it's also a movement. We want to rally people around the culture of gaming. And, you know, as much as information has become accessible, it almost becomes less special. And what I want to do with Retro Video Game Magazine is make something special, because when you were subscribing to all those magazines, you know, Eric, I guarantee you that there's anticipation for them. You were waiting for them. You were anxiously waiting for them to show up in your mailbox or waiting for them to hit newsstands. I know I always waited for magazines like Nintendo Power growing up, and I was particularly fond of PSM back in the day and loved when that showed up in my mailbox. And, you know, the access to information that we have at our fingertips is fantastic, but there is something to be said for having something special. It takes effort and time to create a product like this that is crafted, you know, with a lot of love and attention to detail, and it's something that you keep on your coffee table. I mean, the reality of the situation is we're not trying to tie ourselves. I mean, there aren't even dates on our magazines because we want them to be evergreen. I mean, the content coming out in the fighting game issue will be 99% of it will be as relevant a year from the day it comes out as it is from the day it comes out. And that's because we want to create a scenario to where, you know, each edition is basically a collector's edition unto itself. And that kind of feeling of having something special on a product that is tangible, that you hold, is something that I think there's a lot of people who long for that once again, or discovering it for a first time if they're younger and they don't quite get it. I think they can maybe appreciate it in a different way than old guys like me can. But yeah, I mean, that's the point, is to rally the industry around things, celebrate them, and have people have them as keepsakes.
Wow.
Nice.
No, that's good. I mean, it's amazing what you guys are doing, not just from the perspective that I am, which is a retro gamer, and being from that generation that enjoyed that monthly magazine in the mailbox, and, oh my God, what am I going to get the previews for all the new games coming out from E3? But, I mean, even coming, like, pushing forward and trying to bring in, like, new people into the mix of things, because I mean that's one of the beautiful things about retro gaming is that someday, regardless of how long it takes, every game is a retro game.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah, totally. And educating people, right? I mean, there's a lot. I have kids, and I've really taken it upon myself to try to, you know, don't just dive into this game. Let's look at the history of how this game evolved. And again, you know, in retro, we don't just focus on past content. We're looking at the future, but from a retro yeah. mindset. And that's, you know, that's one of the big things that I think has the ability to, you know, if we were just retro focused and we're just covering the old arcades and that's fun, but it's also very, very niche. You know, this is something that I feel I want people who never played, you know, the original Mortal Kombat or, you know, the original Zeldas, when they pick up our magazine, I want them to learn something. And people who are looking forward to the new game but already went back, I want them to feel nostalgic for what they've experienced, but also get information. I mean, it's my goal as editor-in-chief to get exclusive reveals for all the games that we have in there, whether it's a character or some bit of information. So we want to have that in there in terms of what's coming up. But the vast majority of it is about putting everything in context, and nobody's doing this. So we have the opportunity to do it, and I'm really excited about being able to deliver it and you know, just tap into all everyone that I've been very fortunate to meet over the years and get them into the magazine. I'll have to have you guys in there too, talking about your favorite games of all time and
what
you're looking forward to with your favorite stuff. I mean, retro is a celebration of gaming. That's what I want to do. Bring everybody together to do just
that. You don't want Jason there. It's fine. Trust me.
He's gentle as a lamb.
He's ooh,
ouch. Oh. We found a replacement for Bailey.
That's oh. Man, no, Daniel, it's amazing the work you guys are doing. Couldn't even imagine taking that as an under and taking that over. Like, it's just, you're a man after my own heart. That's all I'll say.
Thank you.
Yeah, no,
just as long as you're not a Bengals fan. Are you a Bengals fan living up there?
Oh, you better believe I'm a Bengals fan.
All right, that's okay.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. We'll move on. We won't talk about it.
Boo-day.
New day for show. Only in the nasty natty.
But yeah, so if anyone want to check it out, go to readretro.com. And what's your Twitter handle?
At readretro. Yeah,
very
and
simple.
My personal Twitter is at Daniel Kaiser, which looks like Kaiser, but sounds like Kaiser. It's K-A-Y-S-E-R. So, yeah. But, either way, you can talk about Kaiser rolls if you want. Or the fact that Kaiser means king. King of what? I don't know, but...
King of Retro Magazine?
There you go.
He's going to change his profile title now. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, that's happening.
It's going to be a little Photoshop crown in there.
Oh, nice.
Nice. All right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right. Moving on. I'm going to ask, what have you old video games have you guys been playing this week or lately?
Eric, you want to jump in?
Oh, I do I? I mean, that's awkward.
That's awkward.
Yeah, it's one of those days or weeks rather where I've been playing a retro-esque game.
Retro-inspired.
Okay. No, go with it.
I'll say this. So I have, obviously, if you listen to the last episode, I'm still playing through Link's Awakening. And I'm still kind of super enthralled and completely overtaken by the awesomeness that is Link's Awakening. So I can't really discuss that at this moment just because it's But one of the games that I've been playing, which has kind of taken me by storm, is Crossy Road. Have you guys played this Crossy Road?
No.
It's a mobile game. It's a very isometric, very blocky, 8-bit-ish, kind of reminds me of like a pseudo Minecraft. Lots of dark outlines on things. But the funny thing is it's Frogger.
Okay.
Nice.
Like, that's all it is. It's Frogger.
What do you play as?
That is where... The genius of these developers and just mobile gaming in general, because nowadays it's like, if you're playing a mobile game, either on your phone or your tablet, it's a free-to-play game, so they have to figure out ways how to get money from you, so it's free to download, but, how am I going to get
monetize
at your
shit.
Pocketbook?
Yeah.
So the characters that you play as essentially are what you pay for. And there's over, 100 characters to play as.
How much do you have to pay for each character?
So, it varies. It can be anywhere from 99 cents up to $2.99. Some of the characters are free to unlock as you play. There's a time limit. If you play for X amount of time, then the character is just automatically unlocked, but it's all random.
Mm-hmm.
And as the updates have come along, they've added more... characters to unlock. This last update was for Australian animals, which apparently they have an entirely different ecosystem than the rest of the world. So
yeah.
they got their own update. Mm-hmm. Well, kangaroos. Yeah, I guess there aren't really kangaroos. I just thought of that. Nah, I feel like an idiot. But the funny thing is it kind of goes back to what you were saying just about bringing new people into the retro gaming. And, the history of everything, because legitimately, that's all this game is. It's just Frogger. That's all it is. Like, it's an endless Frogger. There is nothing new to the game, essentially. There's no new mechanics. There's no anything that's like flashy or mind-boggling or anything like that. It's literally just tap the button to move your character forward. You got squashed. Start over.
Cool.
And you can't move laterally? I mean, you can move laterally?
Yeah, so, and that's where the in my opinion anyway, the failure of mobiles come into play is the controls. Because if you want to move laterally, you actually have to swipe left or right. Whereas in moving forward, it's just a tap on the screen. So it's like, it feels encumbersome to do that. And you try to, or at least me anyway, like I just try to just like gun it. So like I'll wait and then I'll just start slamming the screen like, no, I can make it. I can make it. I can make it. I can make it.
Remind
and
then, like, me not to ever get in a car with you.
No, yeah, that's it's a I mean, Cincinnati, man, we've got some of the highest death rates in the nation. So yeah, it's pretty bad.
But well, no, I don't mean to laugh at that. That's not funny, but
no. Yes. Or is it hilarious?
I don't know. Crossy Road. Is it called Crossy Road?
Crossy Road. So it's available for iPhone and Android.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, it's just one of those games where maybe because I'm not a big mobile fan at all. Not even the smallest bit. But the fact that it's essentially Frogger, like, I have no problem telling people that I'm playing Crossy Road. I don't know. Is that weird? Like, is
it's not weird.
I don't know.
No. Whatever makes you hoppy.
It does.
Sorry, I'm known for my puns. I got to bring them out, guys.
Oh, wow. I like it.
Yeah, so we've definitely found a replacement for Bailey.
Yeah, definitely found a replacement for Bailey.
Bailey, I'm sorry. I hope you're listening right now.
Sorry.
Bailey.
It's been a great journey. But
we'll send you some Irish cream. That's the last one. That's the last one.
So, yeah, Crossy Road.
Crossy Road. All right, sweet. Set it to download on my phone. I'm going to check it out tomorrow. What have you been playing, Daniel?
I've actually been in catch-up mode because, you know, taking on this role, I've been doing a lot of stuff. But, you know, prior to the holidays, I was, retro-wise, I have this, what I try to do with my boys is walk them through the history of different games. So go through and play all the old school Zelda games, the Mario games, and kind of slowly graduate to different things. Not literally doing it in chronological order, but doing that. So one of the great games that I'm trying to get the time and actually go and introduce them to is Wind Waker on the Wii U, the remake. But, you know, so that's at the top of my list. In terms of actual games I've been playing, they've been modern. I've been speaking a lot about Lords of the Fallen, one of my favorite games of last year. I just enjoyed it. It was fun. It was, you know, it's like, you know, what is the phrase? Under promise, over deliver. That's what I felt like with that game, you know? So, I mean, I wasn't expecting a whole hell of a lot, but it looked fun and I started playing it and I really liked it and enjoyed it. Dragon Age Origins, been playing that as well. And not loving it as much as I thought I would. Again, that
you didn't get your 80 hours in yet?
No, I'm about 30 something in, and it's good, you know. But I was a huge Mass Effect fan, and I'm really liking it. But I'm waiting. I feel like I'm waiting for something else to happen. So, so anyway, there's that. But there's, you know, so many great games coming out. One of the things with modern games, though, too, is they're a very big time investment. So, you know, retro games, you could kind of, you know, pick up and play and, you know, and just go through them and not, you know, I mean, I've got a sweet spot for games. And I do think a lot of modern games are artificially extended in terms of their length, just because the developers and publishers feel they need to check off something on the back of the box to say it's XYZ amount of time that you'll have for your investment. But yeah, I mean, retro-wise, I really enjoy a lot of the old-school games and particularly playing them with my kids because I feel like I get to relive them, see them through a different thing. So Wind Waker is the big one that I want to get going with them, especially with a new Zelda on the horizon. They've already played through Skyward Sword and Twilight Princess. And we've played through, you know, A Link Between Worlds and a bunch of other stuff. So that's about it. But I'm going to DICE next week in Vegas, and my plan is to finally play Shovel Knight on the plane there and back and forth and really dive into it because I've heard nothing but great things about that. Speaking of retro-inspired games, so looking forward to seeing what the Yacht Club games guys have cooked up and check it out.
Nice. Nice. Well, those all sound better than my game.
What is your game?
I I've talked about it on the podcast before. The Internet Archive put up roughly 2,500 DOS games.
Oh, not this again.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, this again. So every once in a while, I just like to throw up the browser. I'm like, oh, let's see some old game that, you know, I've never heard of. Let's fire it up.
Hmm.
But I'm a huge sucker for Star Wars.
Okay.
Love Star Wars. So I'm like, oh, sweet. Old Star Wars game, 1989. Let's give it a shot. It's released in arcade and stuff. It plays from the first person perspective of an X-Wing. So you just see the nose of your X-Wing and you see the four cannons. And it's basically a stationary shooter. So you're just having build really bad graphic TIE fighters fly by. And you kind of just have to move and shoot. Mm-hmm. Problem was with DOSBox online, it's very hard, or if not impossible, to customize the controls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To figure it out. Unlike the normal loading up DOSBox on your desktop, when it's in browser, it's embedded. So the controls for this were Q and A controlled up and down, but then you had to go to the other side of the keyboard, and O and P were left and right.
That's silly.
Yeah,
and then your thumb would be hitting the space bar to fire.
Okay. Makes no sense.
Yeah, Makes no sense whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And just to wrap my brain around it for the brief period of time I played it, you're like, okay, this hand's doing what? This hand's...
So it was like you were playing Quap.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, exactly. It was like Quap, the Star Wars game.
So it's no Yoda's Quest, is what you're saying.
It's no Yoda's Desktop Adventures.
No, it's not.
Are you enjoying it despite the control? It sounds like the interface is the main thing that is kind of.
It's nothing complicated. Like I got by some TIE fighters and kind of flew into the Death Star and stuff, but. You know, it's interesting. It's from a historical perspective, I'd say check it out, but I'd probably recommend grabbing like the file from a DOS archive website and downloading an actual copy of DOSBox first. Otherwise, it's just going to be a nightmare.
Right. Well, but, lots of good Star Wars games to pick from. Maybe that's not your favorite, but...
No, definitely not. So I'm just going to pick up all those Google game ones they came out with recently.
There you go.
Yeah, but... Speaking of good old games,
yes,
it's time for a musical break. Just heard was a remix of Dr. Mario's Chill by DJ Redlight. You can find it over at OC Remix, and you'll find a link on our podcast page. But before we get into the crowning jewel of our podcast, let's look back at episode 118, where our winner was
guest host Jonathan with, unfortunately, Pokemon Stadium, which beat out my Unreal Tournament and Hunter's Soul Calibur.
My more importantly, Soul Calibur.
Yes. So hats off for Jonathan for bringing a piece of crap and winning. I'm yeah. still bitter about that. I hope you're listening.
Just because it says Pokemon, that's why you won.
Yes. But now it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
There's no theme this week. It's a free-for-all. And I'm just going to jump right into it. My game this week was developed and released by a single Finnish programmer in the year of 1998, featuring a total of 60 weapons, a deathmatch mode, a game of tag, and a game of capture the flag. It can be played against a computer or by two players simultaneously in split screen. That game is Liero. Some may just call it a real-time version of Worms, but I call it the best damn game you can play that is a real-time version of Worms. It's Liero for MS-DOS.
What is that? How do you even spell that?
L-I-E-R-O.
Wow, this game's terrible. Can't even spell it. Yeah. It's terrible.
All right. Hunter.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yep.
You may begin.
Awesome. Created from a pseudo terrible, not really that good of a movie. My pick for this week actually is a game that sits humbly in my heart as one of the most favorite games of mine, for the sheer fact that it is a collect-a-thon of sorts, and I love these games. It's Casper for the Sega Saturn. Playing as Casper, you run around the mansion that you used to own or do own. It's never really too clear. Avoiding your uncles while collecting puzzle pieces to unlock different bits of the mansion. None of it really makes any sense, but you get to play as Casper, and you're collecting a lot of stuff, which is it's a winner in my book. It's Casper for the Sega Saturn.
Wow. All right.
Casper.
Daniel, are you ready?
I am ready. Listen up, folks. I don't know what Hunter's talking about. I ain't afraid of no ghost, whether it be Casper or somebody else. And I think Jason's straight up loco. I think that was the name he said of the game. Loco? Was that right? Because you are crazy for suggesting that. I've got a game to suggest to you in honor of issue number 7 of Retro Video Game Magazine, which is going to honor all things fighting game. I'm going to take you back to one of the first fighting-type games that I played. It wasn't necessarily fighting, but it was pro wrestling on the original NES released in North America on 1987. If you want to qualify yourself as a gamer, you need to play this game. It was the first one that featured an in-ring referee. It had a visible cameraman and yakking commentators. It allowed you to leave the ring, and it had the most amazing yet somewhat repetitive music that you'll ever find. You also came across guys like the Super Space Traveler Starman, a living karate tool, King Korn Karn, and my favorite, the half piranha, half man, the Amazon, before engaging with a nonstop drag out fight with Giant Panther and defending your crown. The winner is you, Pro Wrestling NES. Do it. You love it and you know it. Wow.
You said, like, a winner is you. Like, that's a good thing to say. Like, people should be happy that you said it. That's not right. That's a terrible thing.
Well, gotta go play that game, people.
A winner is you.
A winner is,
winner
you.
Is you. A winner Man. Is you. That's right.
Irony.
Wow.
Such irony.
I'll I bet you're regretting inviting me on the show at this point.
Not at all. Oh, God.
Yep.
How do I even rip apart wrestling?
We'll wait. We'll take.
You know, I'll give you this. It's better than Casper.
No, man, nothing. It's Casper. He is the definitive friendly ghost. There is no. Have you seen Scooby Doo? There is not one ghost on there that's friendly. And Casper.
I don't think anyone brands themselves as a friendly ghost aside from Casper, though. So he's kind of cornered the market. He's got a little bit of a monopoly on that whole thing.
True.
Yeah, I couldn't name another ghost really.
There's actually there's some some good fan fiction theory that actually Richie Rich is the ghost that becomes Casper. And just like by the way that he's drawn and the things that he kind of comments on about, you know, being a rich kid and that kind of thing. So kind of tapping into two different stereotypical just nonsense at the end of the day is what it comes to.
Nonsense.
It's all nonsense.
It's just all nonsense. Funny.
Yeah. I mean, it could be a crappy remake of Worms. I mean, that could be.
Whoa.
Right. There's nothing. It's... Okay. Liero?
Loco.
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 So Loco.
That game will give you worms, from what I understand.
Yes. it's actually been deemed by the FCC here in America.
Mm-hmm.
As being the what's a terrible disease?
Ebola.
Yeah. I was gonna say Ebola.
That's the hot one right now.
as far as diseases go,
hepatitis C maybe that could be.
Yes.
Okay. As being a fan of Worms,
yes,
and all of the other creations and clones that come up, what does Loco Liero bring to the table?
All right, one, it's real time.
So it was Worms.
No, real time. Worms is not real time. So Worm was turn based.
Well, it depends on the version of Worms that you're playing, but continue.
All right, so it's a real time version of Worms. So every version of Worms is turn based.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, it is. So it's real time. Split screen. Great. Mm. It's incredibly fast paced.
Mm.
So all right.
It's getting better.
Oh, it's got 40 weapons.
That's not
flamethrowers, bombs, thing, lasers. Right. There's a ton of mods that you can replace any of the weapons, including the sound effects.
Of course there are.
Bam.
Okay.
So all right. Being the guy that I am, if you're playing split screen on a PC, what could possibly be the controls for this game? That's what I want to hear. So, I want to hear the controls scheme.
WASD.
Of course, you get your WASD. That's good.
No O and P involved at all.
Moving you around. But second player, they get the numpad. So if you look at your numpad, 8 is up, 4 is left, 6 is right, 5 is down. Just like WASD.
So if your keyboard doesn't have a number pad, then you're kind of...
Yeah, then you can't play.
Then you can't play.
Okay. And then you're playing it by yourself.
Because I couldn't imagine playing this game like on the row number keys at the top.
No, that'd be terrible. Probably couldn't play this on a small laptop.
Right.
With two players. But if you got a full-size honking IBM keyboard, as was the thing in the day, you and your best friend can shoot each other. With your totally not a Worms ripoff.
Totally not. Loco Liero. Loco Liero.
You guys are into the ripoffs, the Frogger ripoffs, the Worm ripoffs. I mean,
it's what we do.
It's what you do.
That's kind of what we do. Yeah, it's one of those things. yeah, so, all right, so crappy Worms ripoff, which, I mean, if you think about it, Worms is just a crappy game to begin with, so it's kind of a
you're killing me.
crappy ripoff of a crappy game. or you've got wrestling.
Yes, which I just think is like historic. Now, this game has been ranked by, you know, it's been ranked for a variety of reasons as being one of the best NES games of all time. It's also been ranked as having the toughest final boss. I mean, it's up there. You're not taking down Great Puma without being great. That's the bottom line. Because once you defeat King Slender and Giant Panther, you've got to defend your crown through 10 rounds and then get to Great Puma. So it offers up a challenge that a lot of modern games don't. I'm not a huge wrestling fan. I mean, I was back when I was a kid. And, you know, in the Hulk Hogan days and WWF and all that stuff, which made this game exciting to me. But I think fundamentally, this is a game that you should experience as a gamer to understand how games have evolved. Masato Masuda was the, you know, designer of this game who went on to do Fire Pro Wrestling, and which was a huge franchise and influence other genres. And I think certain little things in pro wrestling gave a nod to things that we would see to come, both in its presentation and its gameplay. Definitely something that would be worthwhile for people to engage with, and a notch on your belt if you consider yourself a classic/hardcore gamer.
Wow. Throwing out the hardcore gamer term.
Damn, that's it. Here's my question for you. You mentioned in your introduction, it's the first game to feature cameraman in a wrestling game.
That's right.
Great. The cameraman doesn't actually do anything. He doesn't interact with the wrestlers.
Right, yeah, so it's just like...
So, back in the day when you had so little processing power, why would you want to go, you know what? We'll stick this guy down here.
You could probably...
That's what makes this game special, is because it gave attention to detail. That set the stage to say, we are going to have a presentation-like atmosphere. The yakety-yak little commentators at the top of the screen contribute to that as well. You, prior to this game, you were kind of focused on just the action and the singular kind of activity of engaging in the action. But this created an atmosphere. This created something that allowed you to feel like you were part of something beyond just the motion of the controls. And that was why it was special.
So you're saying that they put more emphasis on things that don't matter to the game rather than the actual gameplay. Is that...
Well, I am. Yes, it's part of the package. It's part of the presentation package.
Because that's what I need in a game, is atmosphere. I need to be deviled into...
You absolutely do.
...things that have no consequence over the... what I do in the game whatsoever.
Well, this is, right, our medium is interactive entertainment as opposed to entertainment. So instead of being just completely, passive, it is something that you are able to engage in. And that's the difference between going to a movie or going to a sporting event and actually having an interactive thing. But the more that you can make the interactive thing feel like the real thing, that's where presentation comes into play. So you can have great game ideas all day long, but if you don't make them feel like the or produce the feeling that they're supposed to have. Right. When you played pro wrestling back in 1987, you felt like a damn wrestler, even if you were half piranha and half man.
I mean, I don't know. Let that
Hunter, you're just angry because
you are wrestling. Winner. That's why I'm angry. Yeah. Because you are winner.
Pro wrestling was developed by one guy. Liero was developed by one guy. But yet, it took
many
four studios
yes.
mm-hmm. to develop Casper.
Which is a nationwide, worldwide franchise. Yes, you need the best of the best to create a 3D top-down collect-a-thon. Amazing puzzle game that is Casper.
Collect fun.
I love collecting stuff in video games. God, I don't know why.
I know you do. It's a problem.
Like, Donkey Kong 64 is known to have the most items within a particular game that you have to collect. Something in the neighborhood of, it's like 500 different items you have to collect in the game, I think it was, or something like that.
It's hardcore.
It's amazing. Only true gamers. Yeah. Who doesn't need that many bananas? Let's be honest. I mean, anybody who tries
to
eat...
I had to.
Anybody who tries to eat two bananas in a row, it's just not going to happen. But if you're Donkey Kong 64, you're gonna consume about 500 of them.
Damn.
Yeah.
And you're going to love
every
bit of
them. You're definitely going to have your fill of potassium.
Yeah. Because, you know, bones. Calcium. Bones.
Calcium. Not
that's
potassium.
Calcium.
Not but. Getting... Charlie horses. That's what I know.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. All right. So we're all back on the same page then. Fine.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Now we're good. Good. So Casper sucks. We all agree.
Oh, no. It's so good. It's so good. I mean, you got the movie kind of set the stage for what's to come. And then you've got the video game that you can actually interact in and become part of the atmosphere that Casper has created. Like, it's like a total conundrum that you walk into.
Weren't you just railing against atmosphere in the wrestling game?
Yeah.
But the atmosphere isn't created by some guy sitting in his basement saying, you are winner with a half man, half lizard. We have a multi-million dollar movie studio that's taken a dead franchise that's been dead for years. A terrible cartoon.
He's passionate about this.
He is.
It's some crazy... comic, and you take the CGI and the special effects that were available at the time to your advantage. You take a rising star, also known as Christina Ricci, who happens to be one of my loves, and then you create this game or this movie for children, yet keeping in a stand up for the adults who actually grew up with this this character and then with this franchise. And then you hit him where it hurts, right in the feels, with a Sega Saturn game. That's how you market, my friends.
Wow. That's, you are truly passionate.
There is one downfall of the Sega Saturn. If you didn't have that data backup to slap in the back of that console, man, there was no way you were saving your game. And this is a very long game. There are very many things to collect.
It's to like collect?
If you didn't have that technology in your back pocket, like it's kind of a waste. But
wow. One little caveat. Not necessarily with pro wrestling.
No.
No,
it's
true. Not
necessarily with Liero either.
All you need to have is your A game.
Ooh.
That's it.
Get that, Jason, your A game?
Uh-huh. A game? I got it.
A game?
Canadian, eh?
A.
Hoser?
Hoser.
I don't know. Everyone knows what a hoser is, right?
So that's the equivalent to, like, bastard or something, isn't it?
Well, it's the dude who stays after pond hockey and hoses down the ice.
Oh.
Because he's the loser. Loser stays and hoses down the ice.
Is that a bad thing? That sounds like a lot of fun.
Am I right, Jason?
Pre-Zamboni days.
It is.
Where the losing team would have to hose down the ice.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're a hoser. You're a loser. An idiot.
You're a loser. You just lost, so you're a hoser.
So.
Yeah. So it's got nothing to do with pontoon or...
No.
Anything. Okay.
Just go watch some Bob and Doug. It'll be good.
Bob and Doug, because those names don't...
Bob and Doug McKenzie?
Don't go together.
SCT, never mind. I'm going to send you some YouTube videos.
SCT? No, I'm
SCTV?
Aware. Yeah, I'm aware of SCT. We had this conversation about... what's the guy who's a Mountie and he's got a blind dog and he solves mysteries? It's like a Canadian live action... Due South. That's the name of the show.
All right.
Yeah. We talked about that. Don't act like you have any idea what I'm talking about.
Whatever. You know what? Let's just... Final arguments. Why should people vote for Casper, the waste of a game ghost?
Well, that's not... Casper, for the Sega Saturn, is the is exactly what everybody's looking for. You've got the family element there. You've got the isometric, top-down, 3D-esque game that people are looking for.
Right.
And you've got the most important part, which is the collecting. That is the most important part. Collecting.
For collectors.
Yeah. So much glorious collecting. So good.
Sweet. All right. We'll take that. And Daniel, why should people vote for we're going to waste resources on a cameraman pro wrestling?
Well, because if you're a fan of video game history and you're a fan of the evolution of interactive entertainment, this is a historic game in terms of its relevance and context towards creating the modern classics such as Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat. So if you are interested in a game that offered presentation that actually focused on gameplay and had something that was challenging to this day and remains relevant, it is certainly something that would serve you well to have beaten or to participate in, because it will... extend your knowledge of both the evolution of interactive entertainment, and it will increase your street cred with people who know what this game is all about.
Damn.
Well, that whole thing was just a bucket of shit. Like none of this.
All right, you should vote for Lietro or Liero or Luna.
What is it? Luco?
Luco?
Loco.
Logo. You should vote for Loco. Liero. Because it is totally not a Worms ripoff. But it is slightly a Worms ripoff, so it's fantastic.
And it's totally a Worms ripoff.
It's totally Worms ripoff. But anyway, that's it for episode 121. Eric Bailey will be back next week. Thank God. Oh, thank God. That's the podcast. Special thank you for Daniel for showing up.
Thanks for having me.
That was great. We love to hear about the magazine. Everyone should go to readretro.com. Subscribe. Go to your local mom pop shop. What was the chain was carried in?
Barnes & Noble.
Go to Barnes & Noble. Pick it up. If you have any questions you'd like to ask us for our normal question segment, you can email them to us at podcast@onemorecastle.com. Daniel, is there any last-minute plugs you'd like to do?
Well, if you're interested in being disappointed on Twitter, you could follow me at Daniel Kaiser, K-A-Y-S-E-R. If you want to see what's going on with Retro, you can follow them at readretro.com. Us and them. I am part of Retro now. And then, again, readretro.com is the website, and we look forward to, seeing how things evolve over the next coming months. And hopefully, if you're interested in getting a magazine, you'll consider subscribing. So thanks so much for your time, and thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Oh, it's great to have you on. Hunter.
Yes.
Any last-minute plugs? Any recommendations for good Chinese food in your area?
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. For all things me, be sure to check out ericmhunter.net. That's where all my musings are. We got a pretty good local Chinese spot, First China. I don't know. We got it like a couple of days ago. Yeah.
Their slogan should be second to none.
Yes. Yes. They definitely start chewing on people's heads rather than just doing a simple, headlock. Wrestler brains. It's a special. This is terrible advertising for them. So
yeah, terrible.
Terrible. Not what they want.
We're gonna get sued.
They'll never know. They'll never know.
Yeah. Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. Thanks again for listening to the podcast. We'll see you next week. And remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. Good night.